Thank you so much, God, that you do love each one of us. You love us corporately and individually. You love us even though you know us perfectly. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good. I pray that today, as your word is opened, that each one of us will have open hearts, tender and soft toward you, that we can recognize that you do call each one of us, whether we've got problems or issues or concerns or sin, addiction, whatever we have, Lord God, that we need to lay at your feet. Just help us to be open with you and honest with ourselves that you are God and we are not, that you are good and we need you so badly, Lord Jesus. We're grateful for your word. I pray, Lord, that it will be true today as it always is, and that we will recognize it as truth. Your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. We are in the book of Exodus still, Exodus 16, verses 1 through 36, the whole chapter today. And I'm going to concentrate on a section of this that's probably not talked about much. It's the whole community. And you think about the Israelites as a community were in slavery, and the Israelites as a community cried out to God and complained and whined when they were in slavery. They didn't want to have to deal with those problems. And God heard them, and he called somebody that would be probably not, if we were looking for job description of who should lead the people out of slavery, I don't think you'd pick somebody that had run away from Egypt as a murderer and hidden away in the wilderness with a herd of sheep for 40 years. It's like, okay, this was his resume. It's like, I'm afraid of the leadership because I did something terrible and I got caught. And I'm hiding, and he's on the lam, and he's running around, and he's being a shepherd, gets married, has kids, all that stuff 40 years later. But God comes to him and talks to him in a burning bush. And says, hey, Moses, I want you to go back there where you left from, and I want you to do something that you'll never believe. I want you to be the leader of all these people because I've heard their grumbling, and I'm going to release them from slavery. And he kind of has a little argument with God. They get it worked out. He and his brother Aaron go, and they end up talking with the Israelites, and they say, yeah, great idea. Let's do that. They go to Pharaoh. Pharaoh gets upset, doubles down on all of the work that they have to do, and makes life even more miserable for them. Now, all the Israelites that a few days earlier were happy with Moses and Aaron are now angry with them and complaining and bitter, and it's like, what are you doing to us? Things weren't this bad before you showed up. He can't get it right with anybody. This Moses guy, he's got problems with Pharaoh, he's got problems with all of the Israelites. And he and God are still just trying to get to know each other. It's like, you want me to do what and why? And they go through this period of time where he keeps going back to Pharaoh and saying, hey, this is what's going to happen. And Pharaoh's like, yeah, right. Forget it. You know, go away. And it happens. And then Pharaoh kind of semi-repents because most of us, when things are going bad, we want to find a way to stop the bad. And Pharaoh was one of those guys. And so he got all the bad to stop often, but it kept on hardening his heart and not releasing the Israelites. Finally, he gets to the point where it's like, go, 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 and the rest of the nation is like, yeah, please, take all of our stuff, take our gold, take all the treasures that we have, and just leave. We don't want to all die. And so they leave. Well, then there's a change of heart again, and Pharaoh sends his soldiers and wants to try to capture Moses and all of the Israelites. There's about 2 million of them at this point, plus all of their flocks and everything. They're hanging out in the wilderness and kind of lost and didn't know what to do. And Pharaoh thinks, what have we done? We let them go. Let's go back and get them, bring them back to Egypt. We need these slaves. We need this workforce. It was free. It was cheap labor. And look how much better they made our nation when they were here, not remembering all the plagues and the reasons that they ended up telling them to go. We all have such short memories. When we look at the things God has done for us, it's like, yeah, that's great, Lord. Yay, let's sing a song, you know. After they get through the Red Sea, there's this celebration. They're all singing and having a great time. 3 days later, they're grumbling and complaining again. So that's where we're going to pick up today. It says chapter 16. I'm going to actually do a quick review on chapter 15 because it really ties in. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. Okay? They're on the PCT trail. They forgot to bring water with them. They're coming up through the Mojave. They got the Mojave Desert right in front of them, and they're walking along, and it's like, okay, first few days, we're done. 3 days into it, it's why did I even decide to do this trip? I think it was better when we were back at home, and so they complain, and it's like, you know, each one of us, when we start having just life's normal problems, that's when we start getting on each other's nerves, start complaining, finding somebody to blame. They'd been 3 days without water. When they came to Marah, it's like, oh yeah, good, there's finally some water. They could not drink the water though, because it was bitter. That's why the place is called Marah, that means bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood or a tree, a log, whatever, and he threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. It's like, okay, they didn't trust God. They're following God. And in fact, God had actually, think about this part for a while. God was leading them off into the desert with this pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. And it's like they're following God's lead and everything's still going wrong. Okay. We ever get ourselves in that mode? It's like, okay, God, I think I'm trying to do what you want me to do, but why isn't everything working out properly? Don't even have water to drink. So he's putting them to the test, and he said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Just like he healed that water, that sick water became healed when the command of the Lord was followed. You put the log in there, put the chunk of tree in there, Moses, and we're going to have sweet water that's drinkable. Okay. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. So they ended up, this was kind of the precursor. First thing they find out is they don't have enough water, and they're whining and complaining. Okay. Now, they weren't complaining about food back at that time. They probably still had some provisions with them because they took a lot of stuff when they left Egypt. So these you know, through hikers, they decided that they're going to be able to carry all the food they need to get wherever they're going. And didn't take very long before that backpack was empty. They've got no more provisions. They're about done. And that's where we find them in chapter 16. And chapter 16 starts out, the whole Israelite community. And I think you'll notice I've put some things in bold as we go through here. You're going to see how much this is about all of y'all. It's not just him or her or us individually. And I think one problem we have as Americans is we think too much on an individual basis. We really think, you know, I've got a great relationship with God, don't need anybody else. Or God doesn't like me because the whole world's going bad. It's like, wait a minute. Maybe God's trying to talk to the whole world if the whole world's having problems. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim. That was that nice place that had all the springs and the palm trees. You know, that sounded like a good place to camp for a while. But they set out. Why did they set out? They were following pillar cloud, pillar fire. When God said it's time to go, they went. Now, this is no easy task, okay? You get 2 million people in all their flocks, and we're going to start on a trek. We're starting to move. This didn't happen like, okay, they're here, now they're moving. It's going to take some time to get that going. Kathy and I ran a couple of races back in the day. Sound and Arrows, there would be about, I don't know, thousands of people there. Yeah. And you can't all start at the same time. The you know, gun goes off and everybody's going to start racing, right? But there's the first wave, and then the next wave, and then the next wave, and then you start lining up and you get a group. We were kind of usually in the later waves.
The slow waves.
The slow waves, so that nobody had to trip or try to get around us. So you wait and wait. It would take about a half hour to get everybody from this race started. That's just with a couple thousand people. Think about, you know, you got a couple million people. It's going to take a while to get this thing going. Okay. Whole Israelite community. They set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin. And that's just sin like from the Sinai. It has nothing to do with the English translation of sin. So God wasn't leading them into sin. I think sometimes we get concerned about that. Which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. Okay. Basically, if you follow the tracker, they've been gone from Egypt for 1 month now. It's taken them 1 month to kind of wander a little bit, wander back, almost get caught by the Egyptian army, sneak through the Red Sea on dry land because God made a way for them, rejoice, camp, go 3 days, get really thirsty, camp, go again. We don't know how long they stayed places, but this wasn't a real long time. We're just talking about 1 month now since they've left. Okay? Now, 1 month in the desert can seem like a long time, I'm sure. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. It's like, okay, these were the ones that are to blame. Here we are in the desert. Well, oh wait, God was the one leading them, right? Let's blame Moses and Aaron. The Israelites, there's the whole group again, said to them, if only we had died by the hand, by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. We just got to have parties all the time, you know. We'd have the campfire, a little ukuleles come out. We'd be having a great time singing and just praising the Lord. And everything was great there. God could have killed us there. Why did he bring us out here? Why did you and, you know, Moses and Aaron, why did you bring us out here into this desert to die? You brought us into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. We're all going to die. This isn't just one or two of them. This is everybody is kind of grumbling and complaining. Is that a little bit like America sometimes? We might not all be complaining about the same thing, but it seems like sometimes the whole community around us has got something to complain about. I saw a little meme. It says, well, I sure wish winter was over, and then I could start complaining about the heat of summer. You know, it's like, we've got these issues. Most of us are not really content in the Lord. And contentment is something God wants to give us. This was something that the Israelites were working through. I'm going to do a quick flashback because they're complaining. It's like, you know, everything was so great back in Egypt. Well, when they were in Egypt, the Lord said, this was back when Moses is talking with God at the burning bush. God says to him, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, you know, when we had all that meat and food and everything was great. I've seen the misery. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. That doesn't sound like what they were describing here in the desert. Like, yeah, I wish we were back in Egypt where we had everything we wanted and everything we needed. Maybe if they'd been in Egypt when they had everything they wanted and needed and being praising God and thanking him for it, maybe they wouldn't have been so miserable and crying out. So it's getting back to Exodus 16. You've brought us, all of us, into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. I love God's heart. It's like most of the time, I'm thinking, okay, if I were God and all these people are whining and complaining, why don't we just put an end to that right now? You know, how many of you had parents that would say, be quiet, I'm going to give you something to cry about? Yeah, okay, I did. Maybe no one else. I never said that. You know, our daughter was perfect, by the way. We had worked in group homes with delinquent boys that liked weapons and violence and craziness. And our daughter was perfect after that. Yes. I'm going to tell you that whatever she did, it was nothing like we had to deal ourselves with. Well, okay, nice aside, let's keep moving on. The Lord says to Moses, and here my heart would be, why don't you just tell all those whiners to shut up? And that's not what God said, though. He says, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to give you what you're complaining about. The people, all of them, all, are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. Give us today our daily bread. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. So part of the test that God gives to all of us, let's kind of bring this into today, is God gives us everything we need. Do we recognize it each day? Even when we can't see it up here in Skycomish, the sun's shining up above the clouds. Today we get to see it. But every day we get what we need for that day. I will rain down bread from heaven for you. And it's like, okay, the bread of heaven is Jesus. Let's look at this. This is really the picture that's being poured out here. And Jesus is with them every single day. Now, if we need a little Jesus, we can go to the Word. He's given us His Word. We can go to His people. We can look at nature, at creation, where His glory is on display every single day. We really don't need to go around being grumpy and worried. Now, the Israelites, they've got this presence of God with them, the big pillar of fire, the pillar of smoke. It's there. It's the glory of God is leading them and directing them and guiding them. We have so much evidence of God around us that each day we can just be grateful and thankful that this is God and He's given us what we need for this day. I think sometimes God just wants us to acknowledge on a daily basis, yes, Lord, I recognize You still love me today. I'm going to test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, we're going to throw a little twist in here. They're to prepare what they bring in. Again, all of the days and this whole community and whatever. And that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. In case you forgot, it's only been a month. We've seen a lot of stuff. It was pretty spectacular. We even sang about it. We were happy. You're going to see, you're going to know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because He has heard your grumbling against Him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? You want to grumble against us. It's actually God that's leading us, okay? So let's, if you want to grumble against the source of your concern. God can take it, by the way. A lot of times our leaders can't. Moses also said, you, all of y'all, will know that it was the Lord when He gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning. Okay, you're talking about those pots of meat that you got to sit around and all the bread that you got to eat in Egypt? God's going to show you every single day. He's going to give it to you what you need. Because He has heard your grumbling against Him. Who are we? You're not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for He has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, all of them looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. It was there the whole time. But it kind of took a refocus. Sometimes we need to help each other. Iron sharpening iron. If you recognize that one of us, me or anyone else, is starting to fall away from God, a little nudge, draw us back. It's like, yeah, let's look to Jesus. If our eyes are in the right place, everything else falls into perspective and stays where it needs to be. There they saw the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. Then the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. I'm the God of all of you. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. In the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, then flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread of the Lord. It's the bread the Lord has given you to eat." This is that bread from heaven. "This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer," that's about 2 quarts, "for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little, and when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered the little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning. Give us this day our daily bread." It's like, you know, what's our tendency? If we see something that's good, we want to hold on to it. We want to grasp it. That's part of what I'm talking about with the North River Community Church. If we can release something because God's already supplied it here, He may have supplied for Skycomish Community Church for our later needs somewhere else. He's got a system. He's got it all worked out. I don't know what it is. You just trust Him and listen to Him. Don't just rush off and throw money away. God sometimes does give you resources for the future. But sometimes those resources are just for the day. And if you don't invest them back into His kingdom, they're gone. They're just going to rot and spoil. Don't keep any of it until morning. But however, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning. But it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. I've got a few adopted siblings. And one of my adopted siblings, I remember watching him, observing him. You know, we'd be around the dinner table. And this is a little guy that had suffered during his life. He was only a few years old at the time, 2 or 3. And he had not had a consistent life where he'd had all of the meals he needed. And, you know, most of us never have known hunger. I could watch and see. He was aware of hunger. He would try to slip things from the table into his pockets to save for later. Like mashed potatoes. Be out in the yard and the petals from the trees, he'd be gathering those and slipping them in his pockets to save for later. Just little things. And it's like, I can understand. It's like they've been in the desert, that, you know, it's a month later, they're really hungry, they're not happy with Moses and Aaron, maybe with God. And here they finally get something that they can eat, and they think, "This is pretty good. I think I'll save some for tomorrow." Even though they were told not to. It grew maggots, began to smell. So Moses was angry with him. He had some anger issues that ended up costing him. Most of us probably can relate to that in one way or another. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, so they're a week into this now, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers for each person. The leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake, boil what you want to boil, save whatever's left, and keep it until morning." Okay. Again, God's kind of testing, okay, are you listening? He's given you extra abundance now, and He wants you to save it for another time. Are you ready for that? I guess part of this is frustrating. It's like, okay, wait a second. You keep changing the rules. It's like, no, there's only one rule. It's listen to God and follow Him. And if we can't figure out how to hear from God, we're going to be very frustrated every time we think we're doing the right thing and it turns out to not work out the way we want it to. It's interesting, too, that the commandments hadn't been given yet. But this whole thing about the Sabbath was already embedded in the culture. And that had gone all the way back to creation, where God rested on the seventh day. Save whatever's left, keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you're to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it. You think they're not listening, or they just don't believe? I don't know which, maybe both. But they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? I don't think Moses was out there trying to gather it, but you know what? The leaders are responsible for whatever the community's doing. Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. That's kind of like, what is it? It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Think graham crackers. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt. So Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, then place it before the Lord to keep for the generations to come. As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna with the tablets. Okay, they haven't gotten the tablets yet. Obviously, this little section here is written after the fact. Okay. With the tablets of the covenant so that it might be preserved. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. And an omer is a tenth of an ephah, in case you were concerned about that. That cleared everything up, didn't it? Yeah. Interesting story, isn't it? We're kind of all in this together. We're all part of God's community. It's interesting, again, they get to Deuteronomy, the second law. Moses is preparing the people that are going to be going into the promised land. And the same thing that had been said back in chapter 15 after they were whining about being thirsty. And God says, I'm going to test you and give you commands, and you just need to follow them. Be very careful. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised an oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness, these 40 years, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That gets quoted when Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness. You know, Satan's like, hey, you can turn these rocks into bread, you're probably hungry. Jesus says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He quotes from Deuteronomy in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. John 6:51 says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We're going to be having communion in a few minutes, and it's like this is an interesting verse where Jesus is claiming to be the bread that came down from heaven. Putting that in context, going back to verse 48 of John 6, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven. which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Big change there. But deliver us from the evil one. Thank you, Jesus.